This is a high quality podcast. I'm just cleaning glass with t-shirt. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. High quality.
Well, you can tell that we're high quality because I'm drinking our compliments club soda. Or sorry, sparkling water, not club soda.
Love sparkling water.
I love just sparkling anything. Oh. Water, vampires, wait, sparkles.
Okay.
Well, we've got our intro.
Yeah. Okay. Let's roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, people of all shapes and sizes, welcome back to another episode of the Myths and Twigs podcast. How are you today, Mr. Twigs?
Splendid. Splendid, splendid, splendid. I don't have much more to say than other than splendid. And, you know, back to work.
Splendid.
Summer's over. Back to work. Hockey, you know what that means? Hockey's right around the corner. Can't wait. Can't wait. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Well, you know, been working the whole summer, so came off a pretty big weekend last weekend, so I think I'm fully recovered, minus, as I told you off broadcast, the ridiculous grocery amount that I just carried home. Dear viewers, dear watchers, listeners, you won't see a lot of hand talking from me today, as I'm struggling to lift my arms.
There's two twigs on the podcast today, everybody. Two twigs. It's great.
Today we've got a fun episode. I think fun for us. We'll find out if it's fun for all of you at home. It is the of all the lulls in hockey off season. This is the lullest of lulls. There's not a lot going on, and because of our two-parter episode last time, we missed a lot of the hot news. We'll cover a little bit of this today. So today, please indulge us as we make this very focused on our two favorite teams, the Calgary Flames and the St. Louis Blues. Today, we are going to answer the three burning questions for each team. We're going to put it out there. Let us know what you think if you hear this. So I think first, my good man, why don't we start with the team that's, you know, more recent popular news. People are excited. Your background's adorned in it. Calgary Flames.
This is exciting. Like you said, there's zero hockey news. Other than Aiden Hill got traded today, which, okay, that was big news, I guess, for
big splash.
Late August.
Vegas, you know, is okay. You can turn off the fire alarm.
I'll tell you that Aiden Hill value went down. Last year was traded for a second. This year was traded for a fourth. Well, what 1 year will do to you.
Than they got for Pacioretty.
That's so true. You know what? And they've needed that IR space. And then he's out for like 6-8 months. Hope comes back. Speedy recovery. Praying for speedy recovery. Question number one. And I think this is the biggest thing. I think when you look at the Flames offseason as a whole, you're seeing Matthew Tkachuk's out, Johnny Gaudreau's out, Erica Branson's out. The core is gone. And I'm not including Erica Branson in the core, but I'm just saying the two players before I mentioned are gone. I love Erica Branson. I thought he was great. Did he get a huge payday? Yeah. I'm so glad Calgary didn't give him that. But Johnny Gaudreau left via free agency, and Matthew Tkachuk said, see, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach, just like LeBron. And you sit back and you go, wow, that was fun while it lasted. there goes the whole team, right? You just had like one of the best lines in hockey just get completely turned over. Like two players just left in both like almost unwinnable situations. Johnny Gaudreau, you think happened to at the last hour, decides to leave. Matthew Tkachuk says, I'm out. I'm only going to get traded to five teams. Here's the teams. Luckily, Brad Treliving's been like got hurt, you know, breakup, revenge, all that stuff. He just went on a tear. He got Johnny Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Cole Schwinn, who I guess by all the people I've heard like on Flames Nation, Flames Talk, all the websites I read is like projected, even Florida websites is projected to be a solid top nine center, which is still good. Plus a first round pick. Okay, I love that. And then, again, I have mixed feelings about this. They go out and they get the second biggest free agent in free agency in Nazem Kadri. A guy that wears everything on his sleeve. He's aggressive. He's chippy. He's in your face. And he's a hell of a player. Basically just, you know, replaces what Matthew Tkachuk does. Not to the same level, but plays the center position. So now you got Backlund, Lindholm, and Nazem Kadri. That's the best center they've had in 20 years. Like, there has been nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing I want to say is, the question is, new core, who this? Where does... It's August. It's August. My stuff is not great.
We're trying to have a serious, respectable hockey podcast. The first question we throw out is new core, who dis?
Yeah, love it.
Oh, baby. And my apologies. And please continue.
The premise of the question is chemistry. Is how do you, okay, on paper, they look better. Their defense has improved. You basically went from 115-point Johnny Gaudreau to 115-point Johnny Huberdeau. You went from 106, 105-point Matthew Tkachuk to 87-point Nazem Kadri, who missed time, plays the exact same game. They're better on paper. They still have a legend coach, a top goaltender. But how does that all translate on the ice? We've seen it in other sports where teams go out and they blow up and they sign all these players and they trade for all these players and they hope that it works the first year and it doesn't. Hockey's that same type of sport. Is and my biggest question for this season, and I get all like everybody's riding high on the Flames and Brad Treliving, as they should be. Brad Treliving just pulled two rabbits out of his hat. But how does it translate on the ice in October, November, and December? Is the hole too deep, you know, before they start getting on a roll? I don't know. It's going to be interesting because they have great pieces. But when your top line, who I think contributed for like 60 to 70% of all your goals last year, is gone, and you're just going to throw a whole new line in there, I don't know how that works. It'll be interesting. The Calgary Flames are going to be a fun team to watch. And it could either go really, really well or really, really poor. And they just gave a lot of money out to 29-year-old Jonathan Huberdeau, who – it's the exact same contract Johnny Gaudreau was offered, but 32-year-old Nazem Kadri, right? And you hope it goes well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's great. Outside of – and it's hard. That really is, of course, the biggest question. And I agree wholeheartedly with that, is that this isn't fantasy hockey. This isn't a video game. At some point, these are real people that need to play together and have chemistry because – with the talent level they're bringing and with the competition they're going to be facing, they're going to need it. On paper, does look great. And it looks like, I would say, it wasn't necessarily Brad Treliving's hat that he pulled all the side of. I won't say what it was, but it was very impressive nonetheless. I didn't see it coming. So, yeah, I think that's spot on. That makes total sense. And that's really where it all comes down to, is this going to work? It looks great in August. It looks fantastic. But, you know, the real money is made somehow in June. Is that when the Stanley Cup's going to be decided next year?
What do they say in boxing, like king of the bags? This could be totally that type of same thing where you like king of the off season, and then you get to the regular season. It's like, oh, that does not look as good as it should have looked. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I have a lot of trust in Daryl Sutter. I have a lot of trust in that coaching staff, as do many people, and the player should as well. But again, Tyler Toffoli hasn't been there very long. Andrew Mangiapane has to take a huge step. And then all these new pieces that are really good players, how do they fit in? So yeah, like you said, June's a long ways away.
Let's hear your number two question.
Yeah.
For the Calgary Flames going into the season.
Oh, captain, my captain. This has been the biggest conversation in the, like, you know, sad days of August where there's no information is who's going to be the captain. Is it Michael Backlund? Is it Chris Tanev? Is it Jonathan Huberdeau? Is it Nazem Kadri? Is it Noah Hanifin? And this is my answer. Like, I don't think there needs to be a captain. I just went all over my last question and saying how the whole team is new, and basically it's a brand new team. It really is. When your faces of your franchise change, it basically is a new team. You have one player there that's been there longer than Brad Schilling, and that's Michael Backlund. He has 2 years left on his contract. To me, I love what he brings to the Calgary Flames. He's 32 years old, or is he 33? One of the two, I can't remember off the top of my head. Do you really want to just give the C out to a guy that's only going to be there for 2 years? Might be there longer, but I doubt it, right? Usually when a guy hits 35, he's not playing prime minutes and all that kind of stuff. Elias Lindholm makes a lot of sense. Jonathan Huberdeau makes a lot of sense. He was an alternate in Florida. But again, are you going to give a C to a guy that just showed up? No, I don't think so. There's no rush. The Calgary Flames are not winning a Stanley Cup next year. They're just not. Hot topic. Like, this is where we hit that button that goes, boo, 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 boo. Right? They're just not. But so, question number two. Oh, captain, my captain. Are the Calgary Flames going to have a C for the first time since Mark Giordano? Or are they going to roll 2 years in a row with captainless?
Yeah. I mean, if you figure that last year they didn't have a candidate that made sense, I can't imagine they're further along in that. I think the dark horse favorite, I would say, is probably like a Nazem Kadri. Even though he's brand new, he's got the pedigree, he's got the attitude, the personality. You know, in terms of predicting, it looks like he's probably going to be a perfect fit for Daryl's way. So it could make total sense. And yeah, I think he's got it in him to be that leader on the ice as well. But like I said, if they didn't have a captain last year and some of the top candidates moved east and south, yeah, it makes total sense to just keep it rolling unless, you know, Daryl's inspired.
I just want to find this Nazem Kadri quote that he said. And it's such like a breath of fresh air to hear a guy that's just won a cup. And of course he's just won a cup. He's doing his parade thing. He's going to say whatever he wants, but to like say, you know, I got to find the quote, and hopefully I do find it while I'm looking. But if you didn't know, go listen to his speech. I think what Nazem Kadri also did, bringing the Stanley Cup to the mosque, all that kind of stuff, was amazing. And it's pretty cool to see what an immigrant, right, a Canadian immigrant, has achieved at the highest level of the national sport in Canada. Mm-hmm. It's truly amazing. And I know that there's people in Calgary that are like, it's so cool to see somebody that's my oh my gosh. Jeez. Help me out.
Ethnicity.
Here. Yeah.
Ethnicity.
Yeah. The same guy. And I can now wear his name on my back. Wow. I am on a roll today. Just saying that did not come out correctly, but I can't find that. Maybe I'll just go right to the third question here.
There we go. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Or I can keep dragging this on. No, this is the third question. And this is probably the one that's going to define their season the most, is the injury bug lurking. Last year, Calgary only had 98 games lost to injuries, like of core roster players. The next was the New York Islanders with 200. Calgary was healthy all year.
Wow.
Sean Monahan ate up a lot of those games. Other than that, there was no key players that like we lost any man games to, which is crazy considering Chris Tanev, who's been injury prone his whole career, right? He's only finished, I think, two seasons that are like 82 games. Jacob Markstrom, last year, his full first season that he's never been hurt. Michael Backlund, it's just crazy thinking how healthy they were. And I don't know if that's from the offseason training or if it's just lady luck, right? So that's my third question is, are the Calgary Flames going to get hit hard this year because of all their good fortune last year?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's the wild card that it's tough to predict. I think there's probably, you know, you alluded to the training. There's probably ways in which you can prepare, you know, or you know, have things in the way that you practice and your facilities themselves, the care you take of your body, that can prevent a lot of the little dinged up injuries, the pulls, this, that. But of course, there's always the freak accidents and the freak injuries that you can't. There's no preparing for those. But yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's an interesting stat you pulled up there with the games. I did not know that.
Oh yeah, there was not many injuries. I do want to, before we switch to St. Louis, I want to thank Sean Monahan. I really do. He'll never listen to this, but post Jerome McGinley, there was like one shining light before Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and Elias Lindholm and Dougie Hamilton and all those guys. It was Sean Monahan.
All the guys that left, yeah.
Yeah, it was Sean Monahan. This guy like gave everything. He's been through how many surgeries? He never complained. He played third and fourth line last year after he was like a career 30 goal scorer for like how many seasons? And I really hope he goes to Montreal and just lights it up. I would love to see him pot 25, 30 and just really make something out of his career again, because that's one player that deserves it. As we both frankly watch Matt look for his questions.
Please, yeah. Please don't take my complete distracted behavior as any less respect for Sean Monahan.
Yeah, no, I get it.
For you, or that matter, and of course our dear viewers. I was just trying to show them my plain tea, and also looking for something that I can connect my monitor in to try to boost my, a little bit more light, because it is quickly leaving me. Getting a little darker over here. Sun's getting real low, you know? But
did you just quote
all is on. I would never just sprinkle movie quotes into this podcast.
I love that. That was nice. It wasn't it subtle? It was subtle, but it wasn't that. Like, I guess it was well done. It was well done this way.
Yeah.
This is about as August podcast as it gets.
Yeah. I'm just like, engage in other activities while you're discussing things. Like, yeah.
I'm looking for a Nazem Kadri quote that I didn't have ready, even though I knew I wanted it. And it's just like way off. I don't know. Okay.
Matt. You put all your time into creative titles.
Hey, my titles were good.
Titles are top notch.
Thank you.
I wish I'd gone first now, because I don't have that. I didn't bring that kind of smoke. So, I'm going to have to try to wow you with my one statistic. Oh, St. Louis Blues. My goodness. Last year was obviously a pretty spectacular year for the Blues. Regular season. Looked like they had a lot of things going for them in the playoffs. Of course, ran into the eventual Stanley Cup winners in the Colorado Avalanche. There's really no solace in losing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but if you can at least lose to the team that went on to win it all, it stings about 1% less, in my opinion. I guess not everybody feels that way. But yeah, last year wasn't without its controversy, and this offseason was similar. So all things considered, I think the number one question for St. Louis is, what's going to happen with the goaltending? So we've got Binner. Bennington had a bit of a down year last year. And I think it's probably fair to say that if Husso hadn't stepped up the way that he did during the regular season, the Blues may not have made the playoffs, despite the other things that we're going to get to here shortly. Binner had a real mediocre regular season for the most part, started to turn it on in the playoffs. And then in the playoffs, he just played classic Jordan Binnington, the one that we all know and love from the 2019 run. If that's the guy that we get next year, then there's really no concern. If he doesn't have that ultimate form going, if he takes that step back, if he goes back to that mediocre guy who seems to have trouble getting up for the game every other night, are we going to be able to rely on 36-year-old Thomas Greiss? I don't I'm not confident as in terms of backup goaltenders go. Grice is adequate. Blues lost Billy Husso, who really was the regular season MVP for us, I think. And Charlie Lindgren from the AHL team, who stepped up for a couple of games as well during an injury stretch last year and who had some great games at the AHL level. Looked like he's got a shot to steal some games this year. I think he's in Washington going into the season. It'll be interesting to see, but Thomas Grice is our backup plan. I can't see him. I think he's going to be a steady guy. He'll probably play like 20 to 30 games, but I can't see him doing what Billy Husso did last year. So if Binnington doesn't have his top form, it's going to be tough. It's already going to be tough enough to get out of that division this year. So I think that's the number one question is which Jordan Binnington are we going to see? And is that what's that going to do for the Blues record?
I'm a little bit higher on Thomas Grice as a goalie. It's hard to take any goaltender that came from the Detroit Red Wings. And really, like, it's like taking the goalie from Arizona, right? It's just tough. Thomas Grice was outstanding in New York for how many years? It's happening.
I'm just trying something. It's all right. I'll just keep working in the dark. You were saying Thomas Grice has been a great.
That's all you see. Light show. I was like, oh, you're just going to hate this. let's just cut this shorter. He was great in New York. He was outstanding and with good structure. Not even great goal scoring, but it was great defensive structure. And St. Louis is a top echelon team. And you're not counting on Thomas Grice to be your savior. But like you said, who is Jordan Binnington this year and what does he bring? Does that injury from Naz affect him? Right? Is Naz now living in his head rent-free and has ruined Jordan Binnington's whole career? Yeah, probably. Like, Naz is that great of a guy.
What a turnaround an offseason makes.
I agree. I just think I'm a little higher on Thomas Grice than you are.
Yeah, and it's probably just like the nerves that you get of being a fan of the team is that it's a little bit less, a little bit more feeling involved there. I think the number two question facing St. Louis is, can they repeat what they did scoring wise last year? And, you know, the 2B is, if they can't, will that sink them? For those of you that don't remember, the Blues had 8 forwards, 9 players, who scored 20 or more goals on the season. That is unheard of, the balance scoring up and down the lineup. You're probably hearing that and saying, then why are you bringing this up as a point? Well, because we lost a veteran scorer, one of the top scorers, David Perron, on the team, a well-liked player in the locker room, beloved by fans and loved to the area. And so his exit seemed to be, well, I think if you listen back, you'll hear that, you know, on our show here, we kind of talked about probably being inevitable given the cap and whatnot. It still didn't seem to go as amicable of a breakup as it probably could have or should have been realistically. That's just one guy. That still leaves 8 people, 7 forwards, but that was a veteran presence. And a lot of the other scorers are young players that were having breakout years. And so are they going to be able to follow it up? The Jordan Kyrus, the Barbashevs, what's going to happen with Falk? Falk had, I think, 20 goals on the dot at the end of the season. Like, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really tough. And I think especially losing that veteran, it's going to cause a little bit of a shuffle of the lineup. Rob Thomas had a big contract. Of course, O'Reilly and Tarasenko are there. But how are the young guys going to respond? Are they going to be able to step up? and keep doing what they were doing? Is somebody going to be able to fill that hole, or is that going to kind of throw off the team chemistry? I think the Blues still have lots of young talent, and I think they've got a couple of young guys that are waiting in the wings even just to get to the professional level. So I'm not saying that there's no hope long term, but last year has all the look of a scoring anomaly. And as we already talked about with the goaltending having been assessed at different parts of the year, if the goaltending isn't great and they stumble with their scoring, again, that's one of the big questions. And that's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of concern, whether or not people in St. Louis want to talk about it, whether or not fans want to admit to it. There's concern there.
I am curious, Matt, how many, like, so you take a look at that roster, and like you said, you lost David Perron. So that's 120 goal scorer gone. If you were to project how many 20 goal scorers they would have this coming season, what do you think it is? Like, what number is it? Over five? Is it under five? Because, like you said, that's an anomaly. Do you have it on hand when the last time there was a team with 20 goal scorers?
I don't have it on hand, but I don't even remember hearing reference point of it happening.
Yeah, like, it's unheard of. And if the Colorado Avalanche and the Florida Panthers were not so good last year, the St. Louis Blues would have been like the talk of the town just because of those records. Now, it's crazy that Florida had a better year and Colorado had a better year. And that's probably in fault to Jordan Binnington's start and all that kind of stuff. And Ville Husso kind of saved him. But again, that's a crazy deep team. Yes, losing Perron sucks. And I think it's going to be bigger than a lot of fans actually want to talk about, which is surprising to me. But yeah, I got to say that five is probably pretty solid. Like, if you got five this year, and you've already lost Perron, so you're losing three. Yeah, I'd put my money on five.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's five guys that should get 20 or more goals. Yeah. I think without, you know, trying to tell these professionals what they can or should not do, but there's given the way that they play, given the talent on that team, Kyrou should. Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas 100% should.
Yeah. Tarasenko, obviously. Yeah. O'Reilly should. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe Barbashev gets up there again. Maybe Falk gets that up, is able to do it again. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It's not something that I'm nervous about. It's not something that I think they can't do, because they've got a lot of talent there. And so even if one guy kind of took a step back, there's enough guys around that should be able to fill that gap. And as I said, they've got some young talent waiting in the wings for a chance to crack that lineup too. So that could fill it in. But those two questions for me lead into the third and ultimate question is, if the Blues start slow, if the scoring's not quite there, the chemistry doesn't look good, if the goaltending's not up to snuff, does Doug Armstrong just start blowing it up? Now, that may sound a little bit crazy, but then you got to think about Doug Armstrong. Doug Armstrong likes to take big swings. Doug Armstrong doesn't sit back and let things happen. And when you're looking at guys like O'Reilly is going to be a UFA. Tarasenko is going to be a UFA. Barbashev is going to be UFA. Kyrou is going to be an RFA.
Right.
There are enough players. Grice was obviously going to be gone. Unfortunately, Marco Scandella will still have a year. There's enough guys and impact players that will have contract situations. And chief among them being Tarasenko.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going on? Where has that relationship been? We talked about a lot of that actually, you know, when this podcast first started, because that was one of those hot topics. How much longer would Tarasenko be a Blue? We're going into the final year. They had a great run last year. There are differing reports. Some people talk about how by the end of the season, he had fully committed and he loves the room and loves the guys so much that he isn't looking to get traded to get out of there. And then others, it'll still talk about, other reports still talk about how the fact that he still has, is at odds with management, basically. But yeah, I love Ryan O'Reilly, and I think there's no reason why they wouldn't want to re-sign him to a long-term contract, or at least for a couple more years, because the guy's still playing fantastic hockey, and he's a stud.
Still a top two-way centerman in the league. Better than, like, what he brings to the ice, there's not many players that can bring that. And every team wants that.
Yeah, I think it's just when you look at the forward core, you look at the age of a lot of these guys, you look at some of the contracts, and if Binnington has another snoozer regular season, I wouldn't be surprised to see a team that would be willing to pay for Binder. You know, even if it's like, look, all we need is his playoff. We only need playoff Binnington. We don't care about regular season Binnington. And then that changes things. The only thing that I think holds that off from happening is how much term they have committed at defense right now. Because they've got Parayko with, I think, like 8 years to go. I want to say Falk and Krug both have 4 or 5 years left. Scandella has another year. They just signed my guy that we traded for, that I'm blanking on right now. That was not for
Nick Leddy.
Yeah, I was leading up to that. Of course, I didn't forget his name, Nick Leddy. I was going to also highlight Levo, but he's, you know, he's just a depth guy. we've got so much term and so much money tied up in the defensive core that it would be tough for them to do any kind of even like a soft reboot to take like 2 years off. But with guys like Jake Neighbors in the wing waiting for an opportunity, that's it. I could see it if the wheels are looking shaky come December, it might make perfect sense for them to take a big package for Tarasenko, for somebody on a run, somebody that wants that high scoring piece to help them, a proven playoff performer, no less. Could be a team like Vegas. If Vegas is doing it better than they expected and they make cap space, or, you know, they just don't care because they generally don't. Maybe they take whatever picks they have left and they send it for Jordan Binnington. I don't want that to happen. I'm just saying that's the number one question. If the goaltending looks like it did last year before Christmas, and if the scoring doesn't run away like it did last year, I could see Doug Armstrong making some big moves and making some big swings. I think that's the biggest question is with this team, and always with Doug Armstrong, I think is what kind of big swing, what kind of big move is he going to make?
So I just want to, when the St. Louis Blues were in the basement, right? They were in the basement. Was Doug Armstrong rushing to his phone to sell everybody?
He nearly did.
He nearly did. Okay, we'll give him that. Yeah. He nearly did. Yeah. But this team, as currently constructed, is a contending team.
Yeah. Right?
I can't, and I get it. Everybody, like all the like big forwards, even Rob Thomas was the same way, but he got locked up to an 8-year deal. Beautiful deal, by the way. Was on 1 year. I think this is a team that even if they struggle out of the gate and goaltending's like a little bit iffy, I just can't see them selling anything until at least the trade deadline. And I don't think you get rid of Ryan O'Reilly. I just don't think you trade, you know, your captain and all that kind of fun jazz. Tarasenko, yeah, that one makes sense, right? Like those rumors have been out there forever. Even though he was rumored to be in the Matthew Tkachuk like offer, they never asked him, like, and that offer never even really happened. Like after Florida's offer was on the table, Calgary's not listening to anybody else, right? But yeah, Jordan Kyrou's young. Bucci is young. Braden Schenn, yeah, that contract kind of sucks. Barbashev is fairly, like, he's not that old. He's 26. You got some albatrosses of, like, terrible contracts on the back end. But other than that, your forward core, other than Ryan O'Reilly and Braden Schenn, is in win-now mode, right? Like, they're still fairly young. I just can't see it, you know, unless you're going to, like, aggressively retool and you just do a player-for-player kind of swap. Yeah, that might make sense, but this team is scary. and this team is deep. And unlike you, I can't see this team. I just can't see them faltering. Like, well, after watching, they could have beat Colorado if they weren't like so invested in trying to get revenge at Nazem Kadri. Seriously, like that one game, all they cared about was like, we're going to hurt Nazem Kadri. They didn't. He got a hat trick, right?
I mean, that it was just David Perron, and that's probably part of the reason.
Yeah.
They were like, well, David at the biggest moment.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think this team's win now mode. I am huge on Robert Thomas. Jordan Kyrie is going to explode or should explode. You have one of the best two-way centers in the league in Ryan O'Reilly. Vladdy can still pot him, right? Yeah, the defense, there's some bad contracts. You probably regret the Torrey Krug one. But other than that.
Not as much as the Marco Scandella, like 3.25.
Yeah, it's so funny how 3.25 can piss you off the same way that like six can. Just because you're like, man, how are you taking that much gap? I don't know. St. Louis Blues are no joke.
They're for real.
It's safe to say you take Colorado's defense away. I would, and this is gonna sound bad. It's gonna sound bad. I think St. Louis's forward core is deeper than Colorado's right now. I'm taking Colorado's top line every day of the week, but lines 1 through 4, St. Louis is deeper. And they have a better goaltender.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we better crown him then.
I'm crowning him.
Let's crown him right now.
Just thank you, St. Louis.
Well, gang, I appreciate everybody listening to letting us indulge in our teams. And for those of you watching on YouTube, I really appreciate, or I hope you appreciate, how I've just slowly started to turn into a more of a darker, shadowy figure as the angel twigs over there shines bright.
See your white teeth.
If anybody listening that doesn't already watch us on YouTube, that also happens to be a fan of, you know, Friends. I mean, who isn't? Please just watch the episode just for the Ross Geller reference that I'm making right now with my glow-in-the-dark teeth.
I love that there's been like 3 times in this episode where you're trying to get your flashlight or your computer desktop to like illuminate you, and it's just like not working.
I expanded the white Zoom window to get some extra light, just to finish off strong.
Oh, I love it.
The things that we do to try to make this stuff happen, gang.
Yeah. All for you.
Well, all for you. The blood, sweat, and tears. A day late, a dollar short. But it's summer. I mean, I know you guys aren't even listening. You're busy. You're out on the beach. You're catching suntans. Some of you aren't working like Tyler, and for different reasons. That's fine. You know, some by choice, some less so. We love you just the same. And we know we'll see you again when the snow starts falling and the skaters start running around up there. Here's a quick aside. Let's wrap this up with this. I thought it would be really fun to catch an early October game in Seattle. Being somebody who lives in Vancouver, thought it's relatively cheap to get down there. I could stay relatively cheap. Wouldn't it be fun to watch a game? I think I looked at one of the opening games. I don't think it was the opening game, but they were hosting the Coyotes. And I'm like, oh, perfect. I would be going down just for the experience.
Yeah.
I don't care who they're playing. The Coyotes, awesome. It's going to save me some money. Nope. They're talking about $150 Upper Bowl tickets to see the basement Seattle Kraken battle the University of Arizona Coyotes. I'd immediately put the kibosh on the trip.
It was $150 for the Upper Bowl?
American.
Oh. Bro, you could fly to Florida cheaper and go to a Panthers game. They're still only $80 for front row.
I live in one of the most expensive cities in the world. Not to brag, not because it's so easy to live here and I'm rolling in it.
We get it.
I just do. Yeah. Canucks tickets are famously overpriced, and they're still like half the price of the Kraken. I cannot believe the price tag on those tickets. Blew me away. Blew me away. As if I needed another reason to bag on them.
And beer is $14 a beer at that game, at that rink.
And it's probably like Rolling Rock or something stupid like that.
Whoa. Wait. I love myself a good Rolling Rock. You know, you get all hipster with it, cut an orange slice, throw that bad boy in there. You know, are you kidding me right now?
I want to apologize to all of our beer fans out there who just had to hear Tyler refer to Rolling Rock with an orange slice as like some kind of hipster choice. I think that's akin to putting a lime wedge in a Budweiser.
Oh, that's Corona, by the way, not Budweiser.
No, I know.
Okay.
My point was how ridiculous that was.
This whole episode's been ridiculous, all right? From my title to my beer, all right?
Oh, okay.
Give me pills.
Oh, gang. Appreciate this. Hopefully it's going to come out as a bit of a shorty, so you guys can listen to it on your run, on your walk. You don't have to listen to it over the course of several days. Feel free to listen to it again and again and again. Log into multiple accounts. Log into your spouse's and your friend's accounts to listen to it. We appreciate all that hard work that you do. I am slowly fading into darkness as your man Twigs ascends to the heavens. That is northern Alberta, or, you know, slightly above middle Alberta.
No, it's pretty south.
I mean, it's north of Calgary, right?
Nope. I'm like, so U.S. border, I'm 15 minutes away from the U.S. border. I'm about as deep south as it gets.
That makes much more sense now.
Yeah. Wait.
From our man in the deep south and me just kicking it on the west coast. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, do all those silly things, and we'll see you next time.